Is the BBC finally losing the argument on not revealing the salaries of its top presenters? Presenter Andrew Neil has come out to say he has no objection to his own pay being published and that he does indeed earn more than the Prime Minister. However, he says that given his workload of some 180 shows a year, his pay-to-work ratio makes him a bargain compared with his rivals. Is it the end of the road? Should all BBC salaries be published? Are people like me good value for money? The commentators Edwina Curry and Bill Jeffrey are with us this morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
And here
Stephen.
We go with this subject again, good which this morning, production Steve. Team of mine seems fascinated by, seems obsessed by.
Stephen, the day is coming. You will be able to run, but you can't hide anymore. It's dawning.
Oh, Stephen, you would be value for money, however much it was.
Oh, you're a sycophant. Honest to goodness.
No, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. People turn on to listen to Stephen, especially
yes,
when he's having go at people like you and me.
I would accept that. Yes, he is pretty good. Yeah, I think he is value
this
for
isn't
money.
About me. This is about whether presenters should be revealing their salaries. It's public money, Edwina Curry.
Well, I'm not very happy about it. I mean, people in the public sector, their salaries are already known. We know what doctors earn, we know what nurses earn, we know what teachers earn, and police officers and so on. We know what their pensions are. But the BBC is not quite in the same situation as that. And I fear it's part of a move to have everybody, every employer in the entire nation forced to publish the lists of the salaries and the incomes of the various, the earnings of their various employees. And I think that would be a big, big, big mistake. Apart from anything else, you're all supposed to focus on the job, not on having a quick look to see what your colleagues and neighbours are getting. I think it's part of that kind of, you know, kind of peep show politics and peep show feeling that we all have the right to know absolutely everything. No, we don't.
Edwina, look, value for money is the clarion call, and I approve of it. Everybody in the country says that. We have got to have this information. Look, let's get it out. Let's get it made public and then get on with broadcasting.
Well, it doesn't work like that. It really doesn't work like that. I have a vague idea what someone like Stephen might be earning, and I know that he does about, 400 shows for the BBC
a year? It's interesting that you ask, Edwina, because Andrew Neil talks about being good value for money, and he does, 180 a year? I have done a rough show.
180,000 a year?
No, 180 shows a year. Now, right. Roughly, I...
Well, you've broken me down,
I've broken you down. Now, this
you
is...
You little rat.
Excuse me, this is probably an underestimation. So, roughly, I reckon Stephen does 48 weeks at 8 shows per week. He does 18 Nolan Live TV shows, roughly around 30 Question Time Extra Time on 5 Live on a Thursday night. And then, and this is very much on the low number, for your independent company, the TV programmes that you make that nobody watches, 12 of those. So when you add them all together, that's 444 shows per year. And I reckon it's probably more on the 500 mark. So the really important thing with that is you can't really gauge if you're a good value for money whenever you compare that to what you earn, because we don't know, well, I do, but people don't know
He's
what
seen my
you
bank
earn.
Account.
I have. It made my eyes water.
Can I encourage
you? So 440 shows per year. So if we knew your total salary, we could work it out, even average it out, as to whether you're
well,
worth
Curry
it.
Curry has told you that she reckons she's got a sniff of what I do earn.
Well, my guess is that on that sort of basis, two things are very, very obvious. The first is probably earning only hundreds of pounds per show, which
Sorry,
is ridiculous.
No, are you talking about yourself now, Edwina, or Stephen?
I'm talking about him.
No, well,
and
then
the second thing is,
I can say then, no, he does... Well,
you need to be careful.
Careful. And the second thing is he doesn't have time to spend it. Wow. So he's obviously not doing it for the money. He's obviously doing it because he loves doing it. And we love listening to him. So lay off. Yeah, leave him alone.
I don't know if he does love doing it. He's just in the habit now. But the question as well is quantity and quality. Like, what
do
does he aim for?
You said, Edwina, you've got a reckoner of what I'm on. So much do you reckon? What would you guess it at, Edwina?
I'll cough in accordance.
Well, I should think it must be of the a six-figure sum. If it's less than a six-figure sum, then I tell you what, you'd earn more doing almost anything else.
Let me just write down my estimation. I'm going to write down what I think you earn.
Guess a figure, Edwina.
There's a webcam in here.
There isn't a webcam.
Oh, yes, there is.
You can't see what I've written down on this piece of paper. Is that right?
I've been whatever, telegraph
whatever, is that right?
Whatever it is, if you're doing 440 shows a year, it's
guess
not
it.
Enough.
Guess.
Guess, Edwina. No, seriously, ask.
Oh, I would guess probably at least 100,000 a year. You must be. You must be. Well, if you're
is,
not...
Is that a cough for higher or lower?
I tell you what, if it's less than that, I'll come and be your shop steward. I'll come and negotiate more money for you.
Do you think it's less than that, Edwina? Do you really think it's less?
I'll write it down for you now, Vincent.
Come no, I've here. Written it down. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get my calculator. So if Edwina thinks...
Shut up a minute. Shut up. I am not comfortable with this. The point
No. I'm just saying... If Edwina thinks you earn about 100,000 a year, I'm going to divide that by 444 shows, and that would mean you get £225 per show.
Which means some of his contributors gets more than he does.
Yeah.
let me tell you how he tempted me across to Belfast for one of the TV shows.
Please don't.
Last series. There was a debate going on about benefits, I think it was, some issue on which I'm not an expert, on which I have forthright views. And he phoned me up in the morning. He said, you're coming. I said, I'm not. And he said, yes, you are. I'll give you X amount of money.
Oh,
and wait a minute. And whoever you want to sleep with.
That sounds about right.
I completely deny that. Is it not farcical? You need to watch because there's a webcam in
here.
I've
seen your bank
account.
And
I have written down what I've earned this year.
Okay.
Now, is it not farcical, Bill and Edwina, that here you are guessing what I'm on, guessing what Andrew Neil's on, and you're all paying for it?
Well, if you feel like that, publish it.
I don't feel like that. I'm asking it as a question.
I don't agree. I think you have the same right to privacy as everybody else. You've got the same right to privacy as the person who washes the windows, the person who is on the bus. That you have exactly the same rights. You are a human being, and part of that is a right to privacy.
Yes, but I'm not sure that covers value for money and what you're getting paid per job. I really think it has to be made general public. Stephen's cornered, a number of people are cornered, and I think that it will be revealed. But I wasn't asked to guess how much you get, and I reckon you're about half as much again as that guy Robert Preston, and that's even...
Peston. Mr. Peston.
Sorry, Pest, yes.
Put the figure, what's the figure, Bill?
See, Peston would be on big money.
500,000 plus, so I'm guessing for Stephen about 750.
He reckons I'm on 75 grand.
Not at the BBC. Not at the BBC. Remember, Robert Peston moved to ITV. ITV is a private company. It earns its money through advertising. And let me tell you, they pay an awful lot better than the BBC.
Why are we talking about this anyway? Because Andrew Neil has now decided that he has no objection to his pay package.
He's just showing off.
The thing is, like...
Andrew Neil has publicly said in the past, by the way, that he's not highly paid.
Maybe that's in comparison to you.
Well, that might be a case, yeah.
But he has confirmed he's getting more than the Prime Minister.
Are you getting more than the Prime Minister? That's the first step. You could answer that question.
Or could I answer that question?
You could just say yes or no.
If you find you are.
If the BBC has a clause in my contract to prevent...
Where is this clause? Let me see your contract, because I think that's nonsense.
To prevent me from disclosing what I earn.
Did you put the clause in your contract with the BBC?
No.
So did you request that clause?
No, and I'll tell you better than that. Every time I go into fight with the BBC over any type of contract negotiation, the little woman down there called Kathleen...
Okay? I'm sure she loves you.
She's a little woman with a big bark.
Right.
Okay. And Kathleen will say... We're not changing it. This is it every time, right? So we'll just recreate the circumstance every time I go in for a contract negotiation. Edwina, you will identify with it. Mm-hmm. And I go into the BBC and I say, no, I've had a really good year. We are the biggest radio show in the country. We started off and people said a phone-in show. I say this to them every year. The BBC said to me a phone-in show would not work at 9 o'clock.
In the distance you can hear a violin.
There are senior executives who still work in the BBC who wanted to bring live bands in here
anyway,
and trumpets in
here's the question.
And said a phone-in show shut up, did I tell the story?
I've heard this story so many
times.
I could tell
the story. And some of these executives who are still in here to this day, they wanted to play trumpets and they wanted to talk about, oh, isn't the sun shining in Portavogie? And I said, no, we will do the biggest radio show in the country and I will create
it. No, well, the last
so
question
when
is...
I go in to Kathleen, the little contracts negotiator, little woman with a big bark, And I say to her, could we change the terms in that contract, please? I want more. We're not changing it. And I say, well, if you don't change it, you know, there could be repercussions.
What does that mean?
You're going to quit? And this is what she says. Are you holding a gun to our head? Do you want me to go to the controller and the BBC and say you're threatening us? I'm telling you, this is what
last question. So
Robert,
hold on, Robert. You say there's a clause in your contract that says you can't. If you had the choice, would you mention your salary publicly? Would you want people to know if that clause was not there?
I'm sure there's a clause in my contract that also prevents me from answering that. Good morning, Robert.
Backside.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Robert.
I would believe that without a shadow of a doubt, he would be on a minimum of 150,000 of expenses and around 400,000 of a salary. I would be no doubt in my mind.
I
use Shakespeare's quotation with regard to you, Stephen, all the time. Methinks thou protestest too much. People usually with their money hanging out of their pockets are always saying they've nothing. I mean, you live in Fantasy Island there. You're on the biggest show here. I mean, you hobnob with all the politicians. You're in first-name terms with everybody. You've got your little nest in Santa Monica there. You spend your time in America. You don't do that on 50 quid a week, like, or national assistance, or whatever you want to call it.
It doesn't quite work like that.
People who claim they don't have any money usually have plenty of money.
You're
in that bracket.
Let me defend him. You talk about expenses. Don't mix him up with politicians. One of the things the BBC is extremely tight about is expenses. You're very lucky indeed if you get your petrol money to go to the
studio. I can honestly say, and this might be a lie, but it would be a lie only because I've forgotten about something, okay? I am so disorganised. I actually don't think I have claimed expenses in about 10 years in this building.
My goodness.
So there you go.
Stephen, I wish I had the interest of your investments, never mind your
growth. I do get taxis and things like that. But in terms of expenses, let me promise you, there's not a long list. I can't remember the last time I put them in, because you'd have to keep a receipt, and I'm useless at that.
I will start to worry about you, Stephen, when I see that you're going to be the presenter for Eurovision, because that is serious money and a complete waste of time. What you're doing on this particular show and many of the other programmes that you're involved in is you're talking to the intelligent public. I mean, it strikes me that the Tristrams that you were describing, you wanted to send in bands on a Monday or Tuesday morning into the studio, they're just assuming that the people who are listening are thick. Well, you assume that they're smart and they've got a brain and they've got something to say and that they should be listened to. And that's why you run the programme and that's why you're popular.
Well, if I hadn't stamped my feet about this show, there would currently be a piano in this studio and it would be a disc jockey show. You'd be getting Tammy Wynette and Bette Midler every 2 minutes.
No, not that. I agree with almost everything Edwina says, and I could tell you about how people see you as an advocate, a communicator, a safety valve in many ways, and how you do something that politicians couldn't even emulate.
Anyway,
but
can we move this beyond me? Can we do what we're supposed to be doing this morning, which is this is supposed to be a discussion about whether the public have a right to know how much they're paying for BBC presenters?
I believe they have.
I think an awful lot of this comes from the feeling that we're all equal, or we should all be equal, and there's no such thing as talent, and you're either lucky or corrupt if you're earning good money. That is such nonsense. That is such nonsense. People get to the top very often through talent, through hard work, through application, through seeing, through taking a view. Like I say, like we have a talk show, an intelligent talk show, instead of having stupid music. There's a whole host of things. But there's also this strain in British society that assumes that if you're at the top and you're being paid well, you must have done something wrong to get there. And that is such nonsense. It's such nonsense. And it so denigrates the capable people who I think we're very lucky to have.
I don't think that's a public perception at all. I think people recognise value for money. I mean, I think that we should know the heads of charities, all sorts of people like that there, and indeed our excellent broadcasters.
There's a school of thought, by the way, just when you mentioned music there, and this is a completely different subject, OK? But I have often wondered, and I'm not talking about specialist music. For example, we've got a presenter here called Hugo, and he is incredibly popular, and he's great, and his programme's great, and Hugo Duncan I'm talking about, obviously. And he's got a specialism in country music, and so he will very much have a specialist background in that type of music. And we've got Cherry McElwain, who at night time is just wonderful with mood music at that time of night. But for presenters who just play any track and hold a show together with
with music and they do a music programme, I actually wonder if the BBC should be allowed to do that. And it's a question, because the commercial sector can do that. So there's a question for you all. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, but there's a question for you. Should the BBC be allowed to do those type of programmes at all? Maybe that's a light relief, by the way, and needed relief from all the current affairs that you get. Michael in Belfast. Morning, Michael.
How you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Michael.
Stephen, I just want to say that I'm personally, with regard to your wage, not really interested in exactly how much would you earn.
Yes.
I would be interested in finding out, would you give any of your big wage salary to charity?
Well,
would you donate any of your wages to any specific charity? I think that would be more interesting for you to disclose.
Why would that be interesting?
Well,
why would it be any more interesting? You see, and you're going to think you genuinely are going to think I'm making this up now, Michael, okay? Because it sounds a little bit kind of gooey, right? But here's how I genuinely view my job. I think it's an incredible job for me, okay? Because it's what I want to do. But I don't think it's any better job than anybody else. I genuinely don't, all right? I think a cleaner, while she's clearly not paid as much as me, can get as much satisfaction, if you like, out of life, coming in, doing that job, and maybe she's got more time for other priorities in her life. The point I'm trying to get to is this. If you don't think you're any more important than anyone else because of the job you do, and I genuinely don't, then why is it more relevant if I give to charity compared to anyone else? That's what I'm trying to say. Why hold this type of job up on a pedestal? Why would it be relevant to you whether I give to charity or not?
Well, it's not really relevant to you specifically in regards to what you earn. It's more a case of, well, everybody can chip in. Everybody could donate to charity.
Yeah.
And I was actually thinking of making a donation myself of £100 to the Horizon unit, which is up there on the outskirts of Glengormley, which do great work with the children with special needs. So I'd put an offer to you. If you want to come up with me, I'll give a cheque over for £100. I earn £20,000 a year. Let's say we'll go with what Vinnie was saying, that you earn £100,000. You could maybe match that, which would be £1,000. So if you want to go up with me, I'll hand the cheque over for £100.
Well, do you want me to... I've never, ever publicly spoken about this before, right? But since you're asking, I'll tell you, all right? Do you want to know what I've done with my money in the past? Okay? Do you want to know or not?
Absolutely.
Right.
100%.
Right. So what I've done, and I'm just hesitating here as to whether I should actually disclose this or not, because I've chosen not to up to now. What I have done is there have been some kids who from working class estates who had the qualifications to go to a good school in Northern Ireland, and maybe their mums and dads couldn't afford the fees, and they couldn't afford the school uniforms, and they couldn't afford the sports trips and all of that with them. And what I've done is I've funded those kids through their education, and to this day they don't know it's me.
That's beautiful.
All right? Now, there's the power of money. There's the power. It doesn't make me any better than anyone else. It doesn't make me any better than a kid putting a pound in a collection tin. But I've got so much satisfaction. I'll tell you now, I've got more satisfaction over doing that than I have buying a top-of-the-range car with my money.
And I tell you what's also more admirable is that actually, you haven't boasted about it.
No, I probably shouldn't even have said it this morning. Yeah. I'm going to regret saying it now.
That's wonderful, Stephen. And can I just say, I'm not phoning up to actually put you on the spot. It's more just to raise the issue and to all just to make the point that we could all do things and we could all sort of give money to charities and contribute in some way. So, you know, I'm not actually phoning up to put you on the spot, and I'm not even interested that much in what you earn. But as I say, the offer's there. I can go up over the next few days, and I can, because I was thinking about doing it myself, give £100, donate to the specific charity, the organisation. And as I say, the offer's there. If you want to come up with me, and you can match that with regard to what you earn, if it's £100,000, that's maybe £1,000 from yourself. So the offer's there.
Okay, Michael, thank you.
Morning to you. We're going to have to leave it there. Bill, thank you. Edwina, lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed.